Hello everyone, welcome to Mind Blowing, Health and Wellness with Violet. Today we're talking about three misconceptions that block weight loss. And as you might know, but if you're new here, I'll tell you that I'm a psychologist and I have a prior practice in the West Island of Montreal, which is in Quebec, Canada. And I have a private practice and I see a lot of clients, and we sometimes get on the topic of weight loss and weight control because it's something that causes a lot of struggle for many, many people. I thought today I would take a moment to talk about weight loss and more specifically talk about the things that might block us from losing weight. And the first thing I want to talk about is our misconception, our misunderstanding about how weight is gained in the first place. So, you know, Dr. Jason Fung, he's a Canadian doctor. He talks about the idea that we don't understand how insulin is implicated in weight gain. And so basically, and he explains it very well, we gain weight because our insulin levels are high. And therefore, because our insulin levels are high, our body, when it gets carbohydrates, which causes our insulin levels to be high, by the way, when our body receives carbohydrates, it decides to store the energy because oftentimes we end up ingesting too many carbs, so more carbs than we're able to use in that moment in time. What this means is that we are regularly saving some of the carbohydrates, but also some of the fats that we eat in a meal. So the first thing that we need to understand when we're talking about weight gain and the issues that I believe we don't understand is that that process of gaining, of storing carbs and therefore also storing fats is being pushed by the number of carbs that we ingest. Okay, so eat more carbs equals store more energy, regardless of the kind of energy that you ingest, whether it's carbs or fats. So let's talk about insulin for a minute, because I think we need to understand what insulin is. Insulin is a hormone, and we all have insulin. It's there to regulate, partially one of the reasons it's there, is to regulate our carbohydrates in our system. We can't have too many carbs in our system at any one time. If I remember correctly, a regular person, so a person has no diabetic issues whatsoever, no sugar issues whatsoever, a regular person can have about a teaspoon of sugar in their entire system at any given time and be fine. Like that's the norm. If you have more than that, insulin will be turned, like will increase. No, I shouldn't say turn on, because you always have some insulin in your system. But insulin will be increased, and it will work to get the extra sugar out of your system, so the extra carbs. So okay, so that's important for us to understand. So that's the first thing, is that insulin is the hormone that regulates how much sugar is being allowed to remain in your system at any particular point in time. Okay. The other thing that we need to understand is what a carb is. Now, in a lot of the videos that I've watched about ketogenic diet, about low carb, high fat diet, in a lot of the videos that I've watched, they kind of used carbohydrates, sugar back and forth, very interchangeably. And I think for a lot of people, we really don't know what a carb is. I think for a lot of people, really, really don't know like how to define a carbohydrate. So I thought I would take a moment here, because I think this is the other misconception that we have. When our doctor says, you need to cut down your sugar, and a lot of people go home with that full intention, I'm going to cut down my sugar. I think the problem isn't their intention, and I don't think the problem is their desire or even their attempt. I think their true problem is that they don't know what they're aiming at, because I think the majority of people are not aware that a carbohydrate is a carbohydrate is any food that has carbohydrates in it, and a sugar is a carbohydrate. And that I don't think that people understand that, for example, bread is a carbohydrate, high carbohydrate food. Grains, rice, pasta, oatmeal, barley, I don't think most people understand that those are high carbohydrate foods. I don't think most people understand that we're not just talking about cookies and sweet candy and chips. And I don't even know if most people realize that chips are a high carbohydrate food. Again, I think when the doctor says you need to cut sugar out of your diet, people go home and they cut sugar. They stop putting sugar in their coffee. They stop eating cookies. They stop eating cake. Okay, great. But they don't stop eating bread. They continue to eat pasta and rice. They continue to eat potatoes. They continue to eat things that are high in carbohydrates without realizing that they're eating things that are high in carbohydrates. So the second thing that I think people need to understand when we're talking about misconceptions about weight loss and things that block your weight loss is that when the doctor says take sugar out of your diet, what he really meant to say is take carbohydrates out of your diet. And in order to take carbohydrates out of your diet, you have to look wider than cookies, chips, and cake. You need to also, and candy, you need to look at like wide, like bread. You need to look at all the pasta and like, it's a wide amount of things. Starchy vegetables. They all need to get out of, all the grains that are, that we eat need to get out of your diet. Eating a whole grain bread doesn't change the fact that it's a grain and it needs to be out of your diet because that's a high carb food. So that's the second thing that I'm going to put out there as an idea that I think blocks our weight loss is that we don't understand what carbohydrates are. And so therefore we accidentally keep eating them in our attempt to eat better. Cereal. I almost didn't say that. Cereal is a very high carb because they're made from grains. So all cereals, milk is a high carbohydrate food because it has lactose in it, which is a carbohydrate. So it's a sugar, right? So we need to take all of these things out of our diet. Okay. So then what happens? Well, we're left with what? We're left with eating vegetables that are low starch, low carb. So we have a lot of the cruciferous vegetables, the leafy greens, and we have a lot of salads that we can eat. And then, of course, if I've taken out most of the carbohydrates, which is it's a fuel source. So let's look at that for 5 seconds. The other thing that we don't understand is that carbs are a fuel source. So if we take all of the fuel sources out that are carbohydrate and we only leave in vegetables, but vegetables are not as high in carb as say bread or pasta, but we need another fuel source, right? In walks fats. So the other problem that I see is that people do not recognize how important fats are when we take out carbohydrates. You can't just take out carbohydrates and not replace it with something. If the major source of your food energy was coming from carbohydrates, and if we stop and think about it, with all the things that I just listed there, how many of those things were you eating on a regular basis? Chances are your major fuel source was carbohydrates. I haven't even started to talk about how bad for your system carbohydrates are in terms of inflammation, in terms of just making people feel really physically ill. Not even to touch on that right now. If we just look at the fact that most of your energy was coming from carbohydrates and the doctor is telling you to take sugar out of your diet because it's making you overweight, then if I take all of that out of my diet because I'm taking out the carbs, what am I left with? Right? All my energy is gone. I have to increase the fats I'm eating. I have no choice. So at that point, when I start to increase the fats that I'm eating, guess what I do? I actually help myself, right? I have energy. Okay. So I need to replace the energy that was coming from carbs with fats. So then I need to understand that fats that come from quality sources are good for me. This is the important part of the story. Fats from quality sources. If I'm replacing my carbohydrates with vegetable oil, I'm going to do poorly. If I'm replacing my carbohydrates with Crisco, or if I'm replacing my carbohydrates with anything that's not a quality fat, I'm going to do poorly. Peanut oil, I'm going to do poorly. What I need to do is replace my carbohydrates with high quality fats, which would be, for example, the fat that comes along with the protein that I'm eating. So most protein will come with a fat. If I eat an avocado, there's going to be fat in there. If I eat an egg, there's already fat in there. If I eat steak, there's already fat there. If I eat pork, there's already fat there. If I eat salmon, there's already fat there. So chicken, there's already fat there if I allow myself to eat the skin, for example. So if I look at the food, first of all, first and foremost, look at the food sources that I have in front of me. All of these food sources are coming along with their own source of fat. If I need to add fat, then I need to choose a high quality fat. And that would mean choosing olive oil, choosing coconut oil, choosing avocado oil. And there might be other high quality oils that you can find. I don't know them all. I'm not going to claim to know them all. My point is that you need to do a little bit of research and make sure that these are high quality oils. Here's the thing. In order for this to be successful, I need to allow myself to recognize that there are things that I've been told about food. There are things that I've been told about carbs, so sugar versus fat, that we now know are inaccurate. So, and then because I have this information, I need to understand that I have been set up to have goals in my head that are contrary to my own health. So, one of the things that I've been set up to think because of the culture that we live in and the way that we've been treating food lately is that it's not possible to lose weight. Now, that's not true. And one of the things that we do know, though, is that the weight loss structure that's been put in front of us for the last 50 years is that if you want to lose weight, you need to eat less, move more, calories in, calories out. Now, what we've learned about this is that, yes, you can eat less, move more, and if you do it rigorously enough, you will lose weight. You will be hungry. And after 6 months, you will likely regain the weight. This is what this diet regimen has repeatedly shown over and over and over again. And this is not something that you have to look far to prove. We've all either done it or had friends who've done it. Lost a bunch of weight on a calorie-restrictive diet, and then gained it all back. We need to change this mindset. The truth is, you can lower your carbohydrates, but increase your fats, keeping your food intake, so the calorie number, around the same, just lower the carbs, increase the fat, and you will lose weight. And then the interesting thing about that is that at the beginning, when you do the shift, you lower the carbs, you increase the fat. For the first little bit of time that you're doing this, you're going to eat exactly the same amount of calories. You are. Because, well, first of all, you're adapting to using fat for fuel and you're not used to it. But the second reason is because at that point in time, what your body is doing in this adjustment is keeping stable. And that's okay. And for most people, you will lose water weight because you've decreased your carbs. So you're not actually losing any fat weight. So even though theoretically, technically, you're going to lose weight, theoretically, you've only lost water. So when we keep going forward on this way of eating, though, what you will also notice is that your body becomes more efficient. So actually what happens is that shift happens, and then the number of total calories, for example, that you might need will decrease. Partially. And I say partially because, yes, you will ingest fewer calories. Your body will use the same amount of calories. So one of the things that's interesting about this diet is that even though you decrease the amount of calories you're ingesting, because eventually when you make the shift and then you're eating, what's going to happen is you're still eating very low carb, because the carbs is what pushes you to have higher insulin, which pushes you to eat more. So you're keeping those carbs really low. So yes, you will eat low carb. You're going to eat moderate protein because you need to have enough protein to fuel and, sorry, to rebuild your body. But your fat intake eventually will become less and less. And the reason for this is it's very simple. When you become fat adapted, then the fat that you carry on your body can be used as fuel. And so what you quickly realize, at least most people realize this when they're doing this program, so a ketogenic program, when you do that, is that when that shift happens, you actually just ingest less fat naturally because you're not as hungry because your body's pulling fat from your system. Now, if that happens, then what you end up seeing, and which does happen for a lot of people, is what you end up seeing is that your weight goes down. So for the majority of people, yes, on a ketogenic way of eating, at some point, your caloric intake decreases, technically, because you're not ingesting. Your caloric use stays the same because your body is using the fat that's stored on you. And we have a lot of fat stored on us. Even a regular weighted person has enough fat stored on them to last them a good few hundred days. So a person who's overweight has even more weight that they could, that's stored on them that they could use for many, many days. So that's the other thing to keep in mind, is that that we believe we're going to fail. And so we end up engaging in ways that set us up to fail. If we engage this system, lower the carbs, increase the fats, we don't fail. Now, the other goal that we've been set up to think is going to be there no matter what is this idea that it's impossible to lose weight. Again, I've just shown you that is just by what I just said. I just talked about the idea that it's not impossible. We actually can lose weight. And the final sad thing that I think happens is that this way, so any diet that you start is difficult. The idea that I'm going to eat less and be hungry is extremely difficult. And so most people don't even start the diet because they're so worried about being hungry and not feeling energetic and not being able to do what they need to do. They don't even start. But again, it goes along with this idea that the only way to lose weight is to restrict your carbohydrate intake and to restrict your total intake. And so therefore you're restricting everything. And so you're hungry. When we allow ourselves to restrict carbs, but increase fats, after we get through the adaptation phase, we're no longer hungry. But do people give themselves the chance to get to that point? Often they don't. Now, here's another reason that we don't do that. And it's sad, but it's the reality, is that we're so worried about not being able to eat like other people. We're so worried about not being able to eat fun foods, quote unquote, fun foods. We're so worried about giving up what we are so used to eating. We don't stop and think about how we feel today versus how we could possibly feel. So for example, if you're walking around with excess weight on you and you're not happy with the way you look, I don't know, are the cookies worth giving up? If you were walking around today and you're not able to do the things that you want to do, are the cookies worth giving up? So, and it's not even about giving them up. And I say that because that's how we think. But if we stop and think about it, I'm trading. I'm trading cookies for steak. I'm trading cookies for bacon. I'm trading chocolate cake for pork. I'm trading good foods for good foods. And I'm trading lasagna made from pasta for lasagna made from vegetables and healthy cheeses and healthy meats. What I'm suggesting to you is that it's not about giving up, it's about trading. And I think before we decide that we can't do it, we should at least give ourselves the chance to do it. And I think the other thing that you'll notice when you give yourself the chance to do it, and it's hard because I have to try in order to see that this is possible, is that if I decide to do something, whenever I decide to do it, I'm going to go in full force. And then once I've decided and I've gone in full force, then everything I do from that moment on is about seeing how do I feel about this. Right? I have to allow myself the chance to really focus on how is this making me feel rather than focusing on what I'm giving up, what I don't have anymore, what I miss. And I know I'm not telling you that you're not going to miss things because that's just silly. Of course, people miss things. But when I compare what I'm missing to how I currently feel, then you decide, right? So if going low carb, high fat, or going keto, which is even lower, because keto is 50 grams or less of carbs total per day. If going whereas low carb is 150 or less. But if going low carb or keto is going to be the difference between you feeling amazing or not, then the question becomes, well, how do I want to feel? And when you do keto, one of the things that I've noticed, and person after person, client after client has repeated this, is that when you do keto and you really get those carbs down super low, the hunger goes away. The cravings go away. That you eat when you're hungry and then you love what you're eating because it tastes great because there's natural flavor in it. So, if you really want to feel better, what you need to learn to do is prioritize you, both your emotional and your physical health. You need to prioritize and realize that you are worth putting in the effort to learn how to manage your emotions about eating and to manage your actual eating behavior. You are worth that energy and that effort. Whenever we make a change in our life, we need to make sure that it's something that we can sustain, right? So the best way to do that is set yourself up. Find a way to automate some of this stuff. So make it easy for yourself to keep this lifestyle by having things prepared, by buying your groceries in advance, by having some of your meals planned out. That way, when you do the diet, it's going to feel great because it's going to be effective. You're going to have food to eat. You're going to learn how to train your body to burn fat for fuel. And then you're also going to enjoy what you're eating, right? And if you're able to do these things, you just think about the fact that you didn't become overweight or you didn't get metabolic issues happening with you in the last 3 weeks. This has been going on for years. Are you allowing yourself to see that maybe what I need to do is give myself the next 5 months to really commit to this diet and say, okay, how do I feel? Right? And for that, if I give myself this period of time to say, okay, I'm going to commit to it, how do I feel? Then I'll know, right? And if I don't feel any different, I don't feel any different. But what happens if you feel amazing? One thing that we know is that low carb, low fat loses weight, but it lasts for about 6 months. And then you're so hungry and you're so weak that you end up eating and regaining all the weight. Consistently, it seems to be consistently, everybody who's doing this, it's very obvious, consistently, low carb, high fat, and especially keto numbers, keto minus like less than 50 grams total, and high fat equals weight loss that's sustainable for years. You have to ask yourself, am I willing to become fat adapted so that I can have the life that I want to have? So my suggestion is it's worth it. All right. And I can tell you that my personal experience with it is that it's worth it. And it's not just about losing weight. It's about feeling good. It's about not having a hip issue anymore, which is what I had. That started this whole process for me and helped me to find keto, is that I had a hip issue and I learned that carbohydrates cause inflammation. And so my thought was, well, if that's what's causing my hip issue, I'm just going to get rid of carbs. And doing that has absolutely changed everything because it got rid of my hip issue. It got rid of my circulation issue. The possible arthritis that I thought was starting is completely gone. A back issue that I've had for years is completely gone. Knee issue that I've had for years is completely gone. So could I say that I had some inflammation going on? Yes, I could say that. Do I feel inflammation now? No, I don't. So it's important for you to recognize that your journey is going to be dependent on what you're trying to solve, and that's fine. Solve it. That's the point. Prioritize you. Do the things that are going to help you to feel better. One of the things I want to point out is that we're often talking about calories in, calories out. And one of the points that Dr. Fung makes is that when we eat sugar, so whether it's a cookie, whether it's a piece of cake, whatever it is, the insulin spike that results causes those carbs to be stored as fat in our fat cells. That's one system. That's one pathway. When we exercise, we use the glucose that's stored in our muscles. If we're not fat adapted, we don't even tap into the fat cells that are being stored. So the idea of calories in, calories out is two different systems. it's important for us to understand that if I'm trying to lose weight, I need to allow myself to understand what process is happening, what are the things I can actually do to help myself to lose weight. So again, these are things that I want you to know because knowledge helps us to make better decisions, right? We need to understand that if we eat sugar and our insulin goes up, whatever we happen to eat with that meal, sugar, protein, fat, all of it becomes a potential store, right? Our bodies are going to store what we're not going to use. And if we have high insulin, our body stores it. If we have low insulin, so if our carbs are really low, then the fat that gets produced, or sorry, the fat that gets ingested gets used, right? Because our carbohydrates were low. That's super important for those of us who are trying to lose weight, right? So, knowledge. Again, when we're talking about knowledge, I really want us to be clear about what we're trying to accomplish versus what the world tells us is possible. Whenever we allow ourselves to be told what's our reality, we end up getting hurt. So you need to prioritize your own health, your own well-being above other people's ideas. The standard American diet, which Canadians follow too, the standard American diet tells us that 45 to 65% of our daily caloric intake can come from carbs, actually should come from carbs. It says should. And I always want us to understand what that means. If 45% of our caloric intake comes from carbs, that's equivalent to 169 grams of carbs, all the way up to 244 grams of carbs, which would be equivalent to 35, well, 34 to 49 teaspoons of sugar per day. When would you ever sit down and eat 35 teaspoons of sugar? Right? The average adult would never do that. But yet, in our diet, if we were to honestly allow ourselves to recognize that this is the equivalence that are happening here. When you eat rice, when you eat pasta, and those carb numbers, when you do the math, that's what's happening because rice in our system behaves the same way as a teaspoon of sugar. So however many teaspoons that is of rice in a rice, that's what it's doing. So again, let's be clear. We would never sit down and eat 35 teaspoons of sugar. We wouldn't do it. So when we think about just the low end of this, if you allow yourself to have 169 out of it, this is out of a 2000 calorie diet, by the way. If you allow yourself to have 169 grams of carbs per day, you're already above low carb. Like just the lowest end of their diet, of their recommendations, puts you above low carb. And you're way, way above keto. It's so important for us to keep ourselves in mind and be mindful of what that means. Keeping yourself to less than 50 grams of carbs per day is so important if you want to burn fat for fuel on a regular basis. When we don't have information, we make mistakes. When we don't know how many carbs it takes to make a teaspoon of sugar, we make mistakes because we look at these information packages and in the grocery store and we read and we say, oh, it's only, 25 grams of carbs. Oh, it's only the, but like we don't realize that over the course of the day, when you start adding that up, and especially on those labels, they often don't give you a very realistic serving size, right? The serving size on a pack of a cookie, if you buy a cookie and it's telling you, they often don't give you realistic serving sizes, right? It could be like for one cookie, who eats one cookie? Or it could be for like 50 grams of something that's such a small amount that you're probably going to eat 100 or even 200 grams. So one of the things we have to be careful about is that even in the recommendations, even in the serving size, if I don't accurately assess, okay, that's the serving size. How much am I actually going to eat? And then make that calculation and say, okay, so how many carbs is it really? Again, we are not allowing ourselves to have the information that we need to make sure that we're staying within the carbohydrate numbers is going to help us to feel better. We need to use our information wisely. We need to really focus on keeping those carbs low, getting those fats higher to help ourselves become fat adapted. And then once we're there, once we're adapted, as we eat, what we'll see is that the fats that we eat, do I actually need to eat that much? Am I satiated eating low carb, moderate protein? And how much fat do I really need to have there to feel like I'm satiated? Sometimes, especially when we are first starting the process, we need a bit more. But then as we're losing weight, we need a bit less. And then what happens when we get close to our goal weight? We'll probably stabilize again at a bit of a higher number because we need to slow down the fat loss and stop eventually the fat loss. We don't want to disappear. So it's important for us to understand and know for sure how many carbs we're actually eating in a day. This means you need to take the time to learn how many carbs are in what. And that way you can start to accurately assess how much am I eating? Where am I getting my energy from? Keeping yourself to eating good vegetables and salads and keeping yourself to eating high quality proteins with high quality fats. And I guarantee you that when you start to do this program and you really allow yourself to plan your meals and aim for better quality foods, you will be happy with what you're eating because it's going to taste good and you're going to look and feel great, right? And the better that you feel inside, the more you're able to move, the happier you're going to be. Keep in mind, again, like we said, we exercise because it helps us to feel great. We exercise because it helps us to be able to do what we want to do. And we eat well to feed ourselves nutrient dense foods to maintain this body so we can do what we want to do, right? But we need to be clear on that. The food we ate is what helps us to maintain our weight. Exercise helps us to be strong. I hope this video was helpful because I really hope that it helps you to understand the misconceptions that we have about food. And if we understand them, we can do better. And when we do better, we feel better. Remember, this is about understanding our mind and our body working together so that we have amazing health and wellness. I want to thank you for watching Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet, because this is the channel that's going to help you to feel better and live a better life. If you have questions for me, please put them in the comments below. I would really love it if you rate this podcast and let me know how you feel about it. And I want to thank you for watching Mind Blowing. I'll talk to you next time.